connection in my server, serving me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot key in online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of a mouse.
Yes, tis I, Adam, the computer guy. Good Tuesday morning out there in Radio Land. We're going to have a great show coming up. Talking today's top technology topics, taking your telephone calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. We'll be joined by my brother in broadcasting, as I call him, Nick CJ from Wales in the United Kingdom very shortly, and I'm sure he has a few anecdotes and other things to share with us. What do we do on the show, you might ask, if you're a new listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? Well, welcome aboard. So glad to have you with us. Maybe your printer is only printing gibberish, and maybe your server is not serving you anything other than what you would not like it to serve. Maybe your modem, which is supposed to be modulating and demodulating, is only producing pains in the rear end. Maybe your bandwidth is not quite as wide as you'd like it to be, and you're ready to throw your electronic gadgetry in the nearest body of water. Or maybe you have a good story to tell about some software that you're using, some IT adjustments that have been made at your work or your organization or your house or your car. Maybe you'd like to tell me about the latest smartphone that you have. Maybe it's smart or not so smart, or you have some perspective of some kind. And maybe you have an issue with a story that I have talked about on a previous show. You agree with me, don't agree with me, had some additional perspectives or questions, or just something else you'd like to talk about. Again, any technology topic is fine. I am broadcasting a live video on Facebook. If you're not already a Facebook friend of mine, please become one. Look up Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio. Let me know you're a listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and I'd love to have you as part of my virtual family. In addition, I'm broadcasting a live video on Facebook. You can watch me do the show. That's kind of cool. Again, Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio. And best yet, just give me a call right here in the station, 740-383-9944. Again, any questions or comments, suggestions that you might have, or more than welcome. We are an audience participation show. Coming up next hour, we have another show starring yours truly. Yes, you get 2 hours of Adam on Tuesday, and isn't that fun? It's a new and temporary show, but we've been broadcasting it for a few months, so I guess it's temporary / semi-permanent. And that show is on between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11, and it's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And if you didn't know what that show is, well, it's a little different. We can talk technology topics, but pretty much anything and everything is fair game during that show. Of course, politics, sports, religion, sure, controversial topics are more than welcome. The world around us, the environment, music, TV. Of course, we take your telephone calls and comments on our Facebook video. But today, I'm going to have a special guest. He's been on this show before, and he's on with Scott from time to time. His name is Dr. Ronald Feynman. He's in Florida, but he's a native of New York City. He is an absolute expert and guru on U.S. politics, especially U.S. presidents, current events. We'll be discussing events at the White House, the latest shenanigans by the President Donald. Of course, that's what I call President Donald Trump, and his son of Donald, son-in-law Jared of Donald, and who knows what else. Discussing also the book that he's written. Came out a couple years ago, recently came out in paperback. We discussed the book in detail earlier this month on one of my shows, but it's about presidential assassinations and some conjecture as what might have happened if history would have taken a different course of events, and we'll discuss that and talk about his book, but many current political topics to address. Dr. Feynman and I will be on approximately 10:13 a.m. until maybe as late as 11 this morning. You can always leave a comment or question on my live Facebook video as well as on the radio station's Facebook page, or better yet, give me a call, 740-383-9944. If you have a question about anything presidential related for Dr. Feynman, who will be on next hour, feel free to call me and I will relay the question to him, as he loves answering questions. And if it's about U.S. presidents, he probably knows the answer or can find it very quickly. But until 10 o'clock, we talk again technology topics here on WWGH Radio, the talking place. And I would love for you to participate. 740-383-9944. Or again, if you're watching the live video, leave a comment or question. I'd like to thank Nick from the Cincinnati area for watching, and much appreciated. Hopefully you're finding this entertaining, slightly amusing, and of course, educational. Nick CJ, again, my business associate. I call him Brother in Broadcasting, from the United Kingdom, from Eastern Wales. So he should be on with me shortly. He's currently attending to an issue with one of his customers' computers. You know, we do that kind of thing in the IT business. In the meantime, what's going on in the world of technology? Excuse me here while I drink my... that was good. My 52-ounce Diet Pepsi from the nearby convenience store / gas station, because it's good to have good vocal cords and have your mouth ready for talking on the radio and sounding as clear as possible. We do pride ourselves on a clear sound and delightful dulcet tones on the air. Speculation has begun about the next generation of iPhones, especially the iPhone 8. Now, not long ago, the iPhone celebrated its 10-year anniversary, and we talked about that on the air. Apple might call the special 10th anniversary edition of its iPhone the iPhone 8, or it might call it something else. Fans who are looking to get their hands on the iPhone 8 may have to wait a little longer than those upgrading to the expected new iPhone 7S and 7S Plus models, if a recent report is correct. The report came out in DigiTimes, and it said that the iPhone 8 will not ship until close to the holiday season. You know, today it's 5 months from Christmas, and it seems like Christmas starts earlier every year. Basically, I would say the Christmas season starts after Labor Day, but we're already hearing people talk about Christmas items being stocked at stores and Christmas cards and places getting ready for the holidays. Seems kind of ridiculous, middle of summer, but that's how it is. Anyway, the iPhone 8, which is expected to be maybe a new generation of iPhones, that will not ship until the November to December time frame. Again, DigiTimes, which is a trade newspaper based in Taiwan, reported that. And when this new iPhone 8 is shipped, it is expected to be available only in low numbers. Now, yield rates at the companies who manufacture these iPhones have not yet reached levels to warrant mass production runs. Production of the conventional iPhones, the 7S and 7S Plus models, is 1 to 2 months behind schedule. And full-scale production for this new 10th anniversary iPhone, possibly called the iPhone 8, is not expected until next month. Now, documenting the delays in this iPhone production may not be easy, but the reason suggested for this makes sense. Charles King, an expert in technology whom we've quoted many times, he's with Pund It. He said the issues that are rumored to be causing delays, for example, shortages of the new OLED display components and troublesome fingerprint recognition technology, are both very possible. If there are delays, it won't be surprising unless the iPhone 8 misses the important holiday shopping season. Now, a normal upgrade cycle for two new iPhone models can be a bit testy. But this time, Apple is planning to launch three new models. So with the iPhone recently celebrating its 10-year anniversary, Apple is looking to put out some new models, and they're going to put out three of them. Of course, the question is, how much is it going to cost? Ian Fogg, he's with IHS Market, another expert in this kind of thing, said, the big challenge that Apple has with the iPhone is it's a product that it's trying to ship in very large volume. There are a few products that go from being announced in 1 week and 10 days later being shipped in millions. And that's an incredibly hard thing to do. If the rumors about the iPhone 8 prove to be true, Apple will be packing a lot of new technology into the special edition smartphone. Let's see here. I think my brother in broadcasting, Nick, is calling me. Stand by, please, and we'll put him on the air, and we can talk today's exciting technology topics. Nick, are you there?
I am here, yes. How are you, Adam?
I'm fairly fantastic for the most part. I tell you, this little chat interface we're using, Facebook has changed some colors, and it's I'm not sure what they're doing, but they're trying to make everything look a little more attractive. But I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
That's how it is sometimes. Let me go ahead and adjust some controls here so that the volume is the way we like it. So how are things there in the United Kingdom?
Nice and hot today. It was very wet on the weekend, but very hot today, and then it's raining again tomorrow. We've got a drought.
We were talking about the new 10th anniversary iPhone, possibly called the iPhone 8. And again, we may not be seeing it produced until later this summer and not available until right after Thanksgiving or just before Christmas. Of course, Christmas is exactly five months away, but it seems like the Christmas season starts earlier every year. Any thoughts, Nick, about the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone, which was celebrated a few weeks ago, and this new iPhone that's coming out later this year?
Well, as you know, I was never a fan of the iPhone or any Apple products whatsoever until about 2 years ago, and then I caught the bug myself because everything is very integrated and very easy and very quick. So I ended up being a convert myself. But I haven't gone to the 7. I've got a 6 Plus because it's nice and big. I haven't gone to the 7. I like my headphone jack. And we did chat once about the when the 7 came out, and people were told that they could drill a hole in the case to make their own headphone jack, which was very funny. I might go to a 7 when the 8 comes out. I tend to always be one model back so that I know that they're tested.
Yeah, as they say, never really get the latest operating system or device because they're still going to work out the bugs. And I'm not pleased about this headphone jack either. I mean, maybe I'm old school, but where I come from, I mean, you have to have a headphone jack. It's Bluetooth, etc. Use different options, and Bluetooth is great. But there are certain things that work well with a wire, especially in broadcasting, where we have so much equipment here. And when you have stuff traveling through the air, you get interference. And really nothing works better than with a cable anyway. So I really take issue with that. They're trying to be a little too proprietary and force you to use their special kinds of connectors, and that's a little uncool as far as I see it.
That was the naughty bit that always put me off Apple. I use my headphone jack on my iPhone for a little sort of dongle that's an infrared remote. So I can plug it into there, and I use it as it keeps the dust out of it, and I can use it to run the use the telly because the wife steals the remote control.
Now, the new iPhone 8, Nick, is expected to have a lightning connector, kind of a thing that you see with Apple, but no USB-C port and no headphone jack. Kevin Kruel, an expert that we quote often on iPhones and electronic devices of sorts, said, "I really, really hoped Apple would go with USB-C. The lightning port has problems. It collects lint, which makes it hard to keep a cable plugged into it." So I'm not the only person who feels that way.
We all have such terrible troubles with lint, don't we?
Yeah, that's belly buttons, iPhones, and dryers, and who knows what else.
Now, did you know that in 2006, the memory stick was invented by an Israeli?
It's only been 11 years. So you mean the flash drive, the memory stick?
Yep.
Only 11 years. It seems longer, but, you know, in technology, it's like dog years. 1 year is like 10 years, so that wouldn't surprise me.
No, apparently Israel is the place now for tech startups. It's going to be the new Silicon Valley, and a guy named Dov, D-O-V, Moran, invented the memory stick in 2006.
Well, that's fairly fantastic and quite intriguing, but, you know, Nick, you are a source of interesting anecdotes and other historical tidbits. We are speaking with my brother in broadcasting of sorts, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales, which he reports is quite hot and humid, kind of like it is here. It's a little cool this morning, kind of feels good, but it'll warm up. About 17 Celsius currently here in mid-Ohio. We talk regularly about technology topics, and that's what we're doing right now. I'm still taking your telephone calls. The phone line is open if you want to ask Nick a question or shoot the breeze in some fashion. 740-383-9944. A couple other things, Nick, in the technology realm. I also heard that the iPhone may be having a little feature where it won't let you text or do other things you shouldn't be doing while you're driving. I mean, we've talked about that before. Safety when using electronic equipment. And I think it's probably a step in the right direction because everybody is probably guilty of doing it, even yours truly. Any thoughts about that?
I don't know how they'd know that you are driving, because if it's because you are going very fast, you could be sitting on a bus. So is it going to then, people will be on a bus and desperate to text or on a train, and it's going to decide that they're driving and it's going to stop them texting. So that could be a bit of a pain. I think anything that makes the decision for you, I mean, I think we all have the right to choose how we're going to crash. And if we're stupid enough to text while we drive, then obviously we're choosing to die that way. It does seem a little bit odd, I think, to start dictating how things work when you're moving at speed.
Also a case where people walk down the street, you know, and their heads are kind of bowed looking at their phone and not paying attention, and they walk into traffic or walk into a pedestrian or even a vicious dog. So certainly a problem that takes on many different many different aspects.
But you'd lose all those brilliant YouTube videos where people fall in fountains in the middle of the mall and things like that.
Right, that would kind of reduce the comedy aspect, wouldn't it? The price, Nick, is rumored for this iPhone to be as high as $1,200. That's like 800, 900 pounds. That's quite a bit of change. I mean, $1,200, you can get a used car for that price, for goodness sakes.
That was exactly what I was going to say, the price of a used car. Yeah, in your pocket. Seems sensible. Yeah, we have, and yet the thing is that you'll get a customer come in and they'll want to buy they'll come in and they'll have that iPhone or a similar iPhone in their pocket, and they want to buy a laptop or a PC, but they don't want to spend more than $400 because, oh, you wouldn't want to spend that on technology, would you?
There also seems to be a recurring problem that iPhone screens break. I mean, I have an Android, and I've dropped it more times than I can remember, and the screen is fine. But it seems like everybody I know that has an iPhone, the screen is cracked. And sometimes it's cracked a lot, but they still use it. And so you're paying $1,200. Hopefully they'll produce a better quality screen. So one case of droppage, if that's a word, there goes your $1,200 investment.
I always put Gorilla Glass on mine the minute I get them, whether they're Android or iPhone. Gorilla Glass covers are superb, and you can drop it face down from a meter onto a pavement and it won't crack. And if it does crack, the Gorilla Glass cracks, but not the phone screen.
Well, hopefully people will heed that advice, because it seems like cracked iPhone screens are a serious issue. Do you fix those in your business, Nick? I know I think you do it sometimes. I know it's tricky because of...
I do certain models, because the further on you get, and it happens with the iPad, the iPhone, and some of the newer Androids. What they started doing, their little cheat, in order to make them thinner, they glue the LCD to the screen, to the digitizer, the glass screen that you've got on the front. And if that's glued on there, then you have to replace both parts. So instead of it being $10, $15, $20 for a replacement digitizer, a cost price to a fixer like me, you're talking $100 for a replacement LCD and digitizer. And that's for a non-branded one. I mean, if you buy an Apple one, then you're talking $200.
What do you think about buying the insurance from your carrier to protect against people dropping it? Is that a waste of money, or is it something people probably should get because of the risk of dropping? Or, again, phones get in the toilet. Of course, they get lost. All kinds of things can happen when you have an electronic device in your pocket with you 24/7.
I think that's it's like all insurances. There are good ones and there are bad ones. And I've known people who've dropped it, and then the insurance company said, were you wearing green trousers on the day you dropped it? Sorry, there is a clause that says if you're wearing green trousers, we don't cover you. You know, so they're always trying to get out of it. And the cheaper the policy, obviously, the quicker they want to get out of it. But if you can get something from your carrier that's a sort of if ever it breaks, you get a replacement, then you're laughing, really, aren't you?
We are speaking with Nick CJ, an oftentimes guest, I guess that's the word, a frequent guest, on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, which is, of course, what is currently being broadcast over the FM airwaves and over the internet worldwide on WWGH Radio, the talking place. My name is Adam Lepp, host of this show. Want to let you know that next hour we have another show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Of course, Adam is I. And on that show, we'll be speaking with Dr. Ron Feynman, who's in Florida, but he's a native of New York City. He is an expert on presidential politics, anything related to contemporary American history. Of course, we'll be discussing the latest events in the White House with President Donald, son of Donald, and son-in-law of Donald, and who knows what else. Don't want to miss it. Currently, I'm speaking with Nick CJ, a brother in broadcasting again of sorts. We do a lot of work together working on websites and computer repair ideas and a few other things. He's in Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom, talking currently about the new iPhone 8, if that's what it's called. Scheduled for launch later this year and scheduled for a price as high as $1,200, which on a radio person's salary, that's quite a lot of change. I guess I'll stick with my LG Android phone that I'm currently using. Another feature, Nick, that was bantered about with this new iPhone is wireless charging, and some of the experts would like to see that. But it's not become a very popular feature, for example, with Samsung. But if they did have wireless charging, it would, according to the experts, help promote the iPhone 8, if that's what the new one is called, as a cutting-edge phone. Wireless charging makes sense, but requires the company to develop a glass-backed case. What do you think about this wireless charging, Nick? Would that be a valuable feature, or should they just kind of stick with the basics with respect to charging?
I have wireless charging on all my phones. I'm currently using two Samsungs and a Apple iPhone 6. But all of them have got wireless charging, what they call IQ chargers. And you can buy a little tiny sliver of plastic which has got a coil in it, which goes into the back of the thing. So you pop the case, or in the case of the iPhone, you put a silicone gel cover, that type of thing, which has got that built into it. And you just sit it onto a pad and it charges. So I've got my iPhone charging at the moment, and it is quick, it's clean, you never get any lint in your socket because it's blocked with a little plug, and I find it 10 times better. And you don't mess your little jacks up, your little micro USB or your Apple jack doesn't get damaged or any problems with it.
So you would definitely be a proponent of wireless charging, and probably think that, especially for a $1,200 phone, again, like 800 pounds in your neck of the woods, that having wireless charging would be a good idea. And I would tend to agree. One thing, too, is that these charging ports, every single time you plug or unplug the cable, it might get a little bit deformed and eventually even stop working, stop being able to get a charge or reduce the ability to get a good charge. With wireless, you don't really have that problem. Plus, again, it's just one less cable to get tangled, or for the cat to eat, or whatever else.
Yeah, I've had that as well. I've had the cat bite through one, so yes. I've been using wireless charging for probably 2 years now, and I wouldn't be without it.
Well, that's a good perspective.
On the wireless one.
Sorry, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
On the wireless. Okay, on the wireless front, I've got a good little product. If anybody wants to search the internet for a product called AirStash, AirStash, AirStash. Over here, they've been selling them off cheaply, £4.95. I don't know what that is in dollars, but it's very cheap. It's got a battery in it. It's the size of a very fat USB stick. And in the end, it comes with an SD card, which is an 8 GB SD card, but you can go up to 64 GB. And the 8 GB SD card is worth £4.95. The only reason that they're selling them off is because they all have to have a little BIOS change. So you have to plug it in and load a program onto it. And of course, a lot of people can't do that, so they're just trying to get rid of them. But if you do this BIOS change on it, for £4.95, you can connect it to anything. An iPad, an iPhone, a Samsung. It doesn't matter what it is, Android. And you wirelessly can use it as a saving media. So you can pop your music on it or anything.
So it's called a Power Stash, and that's not a new type of facial hair, obviously. It's a new kind of way to store data.
Air Stash.
I don't know why I thought Power Stash for some reason. Air Stash.
AIR Stash, yeah. But they're selling them off, so if you want one, you'll need to look and see if anybody's got any left in stock.
Right, yeah, I'm looking at their website, airstash.com. It says the new drive coming soon.
Yeah, so you have to go and find one on eBay or somewhere like that, because they've basically cleared out everything they had to the wholesalers. And they're making a new version of it. But obviously, if you can pick it up for £4.95 instead of, I don't know what they were, £150, very good bargain.
So it's basically a wireless flash drive.
So that's changeable as well. So you can pop the SD card out. You could have 3 or 4 64 gig SD cards, which you pop into it, and of course it's rechargeable battery powered for 8 hours, so it means you can go anywhere, and as long as you've put the app onto your phone, you can connect up to it and play the music from it or download the music from it, which is the big problem with iPads, iPhones, is that you can't, everything has to be done, you know, from from your cloud.
So you would essentially, looking at it, I agree, it's a really cool idea. So with a wireless device, for example, any smartphone or assume a laptop or a tablet, you can transfer data. Then you can take the air stash and stick it into your computer, and any pictures, etc., would just get transferred. So it allows more scalability, so to speak, versatility between devices. You don't have to worry about what's wireless, what's wired, plugging in cables and seeing if A is compatible with B. This is pretty much compatible with anything.
Yeah, the reason I saw it, you know, on this sale, and the reason I bought it was because I kept taking photos of, you know, places I'd been for customers on my iPhone, and the only way I could get them off my iPhone easily was to either airport them to another Mac, which I use a PC for editing, or alternatively put them up to my iCloud account and then go into my iCloud account on the PC and pull them back down again. So I just decided there got to be a better way of doing it.
Yeah, it does sound like a good idea. Why would they be discontinuing such a good idea? And the price is pretty good also. Sometimes you wonder, you bring out this good stuff and it goes away. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, how sometimes these companies make these decisions. But
I think it's because it was developed for early iPhones and things, and a BIOS change needed to be made on the stock, and they were all sitting in their cardboard boxes, which means that you've then got to get people, employees, train them how to change the BIOS, get them to plug it in, load the new BIOS. And so with all of these companies nowadays, they don't want to do that. It's easier just, let's get rid of that one and we'll make a new one which has the new BIOS on it, and it comes off the factory line in China with the right BIOS on it.
Yeah, BIOS is always a sticking point, certainly, and everything has to fit together. But the general concept is excellent. You like the versatility in data transfer. That's always an issue when you have Macs and PCs and iPhones and Android and Windows phones and who knows what else.
Yep, I'm trying to get as wireless as I can with everything. So wireless storage, wireless charging, wireless everything.
Current time here at the studio, about 44 minutes after 9 in the a.m. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the Internet at WWGH1071.com. On the line with me is frequent guest, brother in broadcasting, as I call him, Nick CJ from Brecon in Eastern Wales. We're talking about some new technology gadgets that are on the horizon. Next hour, I'll be speaking with a frequent guest here at the station, Dr. Ron Feynman from Florida. He is an expert on the U.S. presidency and contemporary American politics and history in general. Lots of things going on in Washington, again, with President Donald, son of Donald, son-in-law of Donald, and various cabinet members that we'll be addressing. So don't want to miss that. He'll be on shortly after 10 a.m. Nick, while I have you on the line, anything you'd like me to ask Dr. Feynman when he's on next hour about U.S. politics?
Just what sort of gas had been released into the air just prior to the vote when the Donald got elected? Because something very strange over there happened. It's quite Triffid-like, I think, that the whole political base of the country would suddenly vote for the Donald.
So, as we've talked about before, out your way, the Donald isn't exactly a popular individual. That you weren't necessarily overly thrilled with Mrs. Clinton, but at least felt she was a better choice.
You can hear me stuttering here because it's so difficult not to say the wrong thing. I think the Donald over here appears to be somewhat of a farce, is the best description, and it just seems nonsensical that you would make the most powerful man on the planet from, a clown, basically.
Well, he certainly is amusing. As I say, his wife is quite the looker. which is always nice. But we elected Donald Trump as president, and it's been 6 months, and we'll just see what transpires.
Yeah, he's not blown anything up yet.
Certainly, he's one of the most interesting presidents we've had. I'll say that much, and probably leave it at that. Dr. Feinman and I will be discussing those issues next hour, and possibly what other folks around the world think about the current administration in Washington, D.C. Online with me again is Nick C.J. from Eastern Wales, someone I do a lot of business with. We work on websites and talk about computer issues and a few other things. Nick, as you probably know, there'll be a new update to Windows 10 coming out soon from Microsoft. Any thoughts about that or advice for my listeners regarding precautions to take to make sure that any upgrades go well?
Back up, always. I think back up again. And then when you've done that, back up, because these things sneak in there, and it seems, like you're saying about the iPhones and iOS and all of those other things, that it's in our days, our earlier days, Adam, when we started in computers, there were beta testers. There were people who tested things before they went live. It seems nowadays that the beta tester doesn't exist. They say they do, but I am convinced that the latest beta testers now are Joe Public, and that is quite frightening, because, you know, some of the things that come out, you realize that they definitely weren't beta tested properly. And so when Windows 10 update comes out, usually there's another update, you know, the next day, because some great glitch appears in it. So definitely, I think be very wary and make sure you've backed up. And also, I'd like to say that I think that is actually being tested now on some people, because I've had a lot of people over here who are having major Windows 10 updates in the last week and a half.
So you say beta test. Actually, we say beta test, but that's interesting. Always cool to look at different ways that people express certain technologies, but I think that sounds kind of cool, though.
Yes. Oh, I also thought, I'm your brother in broadcasting, but I could be your cousin in communication as well.
Well, that could be kind of fun.
Yeah. So, that's my other related topic. But yeah, I think back up, because Windows, all of the Windows products are quite frightening in the way that they seem to release an update, everybody does them, and then everybody says, oh, it doesn't connect to the internet, or it won't do Bluetooth anymore, or it won't do this. And the next day they say, there was a slight glitch, we're just doing another update. And then they ship that out to however many million or billion people.
One thing I saw yesterday, Nick, as I was looking over some ideas for the show, and it's a fairly big headline on CNN Technology, is that Microsoft may be retiring their popular Paint program on the new version of Windows 10. It's a simple program that's come with Windows literally for 32 years, since Windows 1.0 back in the 80s, and certainly not as powerful as Photoshop, but it does allow you to do some graphical manipulation. And I use it myself. It's a simple program with a small footprint, and looks like it'll be retired. And Microsoft retired Solitaire, as you know, from Windows recently, even though you can download Solitaire for free, and that upset some of my customers. They're wondering what happened to it. Any thoughts, Nick, about retiring Paint again after a Solitaire had been retired? Is that a good idea, or should they keep it for old time's sake? Any thoughts?
It was on my list of things to chat about today if we had time, because we've just had a press release. I've just had one from Microsoft that they're not retiring. Microsoft Paint is here to stay after reports of its demise were greatly exaggerated. Microsoft has sought to reassure customers that its legendary Paint program is not being killed off. The software giant recently announced it would drop support for the drawing app in its upcoming Windows 10 update, sparking uproar. More than 30 decades it's been going. It had marked Paint as deprecated in a list of apps that may be removed from the software, but now they've gone back on that, and it's not going anywhere.
Then I thought I saw that it wasn't coming with the computer directly, but you can get it with from the App Store or the Windows Store.
I think that's what's going to happen. So they're saying they're not. It's 32 years apparently, but it's not going to become. I'm reading into it what you've read in, which is that it probably won't come in it, but they're not going to kill it. They're going to make it into an app separately.
As of last year, Paint still had more than 100 million monthly users, and that's quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I've got as well. But of course, then it stops them selling another program, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes that's the idea. Again, planned obsolescence, and same thing that car manufacturers do. Nick, as you know, the Solitaire hasn't come with Windows directly, I believe, since Windows 10. And some of my customers have asked about that. Of course, you can go download a Solitaire program from any places. Has that come up with your customers about the Solitaire? And do you think this issue with Paint, where it doesn't come with Windows directly, you have to download it? Might that cause some questions from your customers? Because sometimes people don't know where to get a certain program or app.
Oh, they will all be complaining. I mean, my older client base just loves Solitaire, yes. And I mean, if they buy an iPad or anything from me, I usually end up having to put on Solitaire, FreeCell, Spider, Mine, whatever that one is, and all of those. I have to load all the apps for them in advance so that they've got them all. They love them.
So you and I are expecting to hear some questions, especially from older customers about this so-called deprecated software that Microsoft is going to have us use a different path to install.
Definitely, Adam. Oh, I've just had my customer arrive in the telecenter in Wales, so I'm going to have to take my leave now.
That's okay, Nick. Thank you very much for joining me, and good luck with your day today in the technology realm. We'll talk to you soon, and have a great Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Bye.
We have been chatting with a longtime business associate of mine. Again, I call him my brother in broadcasting, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales, about some latest technology news. Always a pleasure to have him on our airwaves. And again, we do everything in real time. And so he had to attend to a customer, and we had to say goodbye to him, but that's okay. There are 6 minutes left to the show, and I have plenty of things to talk about. Still time to chime in, 740-383-9944. That's the number here at the station, where we talk today's top technology topics on Tuesday and Thursday. Take your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. You can also send me an email. You know, just like certain presidential candidates, we have a private email server. And my email address is adam@wwgh1071.com. Again, next hour, we'll be speaking with an expert in contemporary American politics and history, Dr. Ron Fineman, more than likely. Latest happenings in Washington with the president and his family and cabinet members and assistants will be the main topic of discussion. If you have a question you'd like to ask the professor, that's great. Send me an email, leave a comment on our radio station Facebook, or of course my personal Facebook, Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. And we'll be on with him starting in about 20 minutes or so, right after the 10 a.m. features. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show, which, of course, is called the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And thank you so much for listening. I want to remind you that if you ever miss an episode of this show or anything else that we broadcast on this station, well, that's okay. We understand things happen. You can't possibly listen to our station 24 hours a day. We don't expect that. Just go to our website, WWGH1071.com. And that website is maintained, hosted, and in general produced by yours truly, so you know it's going to be pretty good. Anyway, go to WWGH1071.com and click on the show archives section, and you can listen to pretty much every show that we broadcast since I began at the station in January of 2016. Find out about me, Charlie, Scott, and all the other hosts and hostesses on this station. What else is going on in the world of technology, you might ask? Well, Microsoft and Johnson Controls a few days ago unveiled Glass, that's G-L-A-S, a smart thermostat that runs on Microsoft's Windows Internet of Things core. And what is the Microsoft Windows Internet of Things core? It is a special operating system designed specifically for smaller devices. Glass also utilizes Microsoft's smart voice assistant, Cortana, and its Azure cloud to help users save money while monitoring air quality in the home. Heating and cooling of a residential home accounts for around 48% of energy use, making it the largest energy expense for most families, according to Johnson Controls, a maker of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, fire and security systems, and manufacturer of the first electric room thermostat. In commercial buildings, heating and cooling accounts for about 40% of energy costs. Now, with Microsoft's Cortana voice services built in, this new smart thermostat called Glass, G-L-A-S, could become a core part of a smart home. Thermostats that can be controlled remotely via a smartphone or other device generally have been increasing in popularity. But a big advantage of this new Glass smart thermostat is that it is more than a thermostat. It includes sensors that can detect when people are in a room and adjust the temperature accordingly. Now, like competing smart environmental devices, including ones from Nest that we've talked about and Hive, the Glass smart thermostat is designed to lower energy costs by maintaining desired temperatures in parts of a building that are more frequently used, while maintaining an appropriate temperature in areas that are less frequently accessed. And unlike a wall-mounted unit, Glass provides continuous monitoring of both indoor and outdoor air quality. Roger Entner from Recon Analytics said, "From the little we know, this looks like a Nest comparable device. Smart home thermostats with some value add-in is a growing market, especially in states like Massachusetts that subsidize intelligent thermometers. The air quality and artificial intelligence is just a value added benefit to the dumb thermostat that most Americans have in their home that drives their air conditioning and heating." So some more gadgets available for a smart home, this Glass electronic thermostat using a special version of Microsoft's Windows 10. Cool stuff that we talk about here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, starring yours truly, Adam Lipp. About 15 seconds left to the show. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you again Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam is next. Special guest, Dr. Ron Feynman. News and features at 10. Thank you for listening.